Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hi, this is Dr. Andy Barlow with the Chiropractic Physician Center of Tupelo and author of the number one best-selling book, The Code Breaker. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Then call my office at 662-844-1414 and order my new book, The Code Breaker.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this middle of summer. I say that. It's still super regional weekend, but this feels like it's one of those days where we are in just the dead of summer with nothing going on, at least in college football circles anyway. Not a whole lot going on, but I'm glad you guys are here. It's a busy sports weekend, quite frankly. We have a lot going on. The NBA Finals Game 2 is happening right now. You have super regionals going on. Florida punched their ticket to the College World Series, which... whatever. Although, here's the thing about that. I get Florida lost a lot of midweek games, and Florida's record was bad. But, I mean, should we be surprised that a team this talented has made it to the College World Series? I know what their record is. I understand that, again, they lost a bunch of midweek games. They were not a particularly good team, relatively speaking, this year. But they played the number one schedule, I believe, in all of college baseball. It was like number one or number three. And they have studs on that team. So them figuring it out and making it to the College World Series is very unsurprising. It is not, I saw somebody compare it to Ole Miss 2022, where, like, you know, some people called it like a Cinderella story. A team from a program that is that invested in baseball with that many great players on it could not possibly be a Cinderella story. They just stunk, Florida did, for most of the year, if not all of the year. But they've got dudes everywhere. So the fact that they're here should not surprise anybody. But anyway, we got that going on today. Tennessee was forced into a game three, but it looks like they're going to mash their way into Omaha as well. But so that's going on. NBA Finals going on. Scottie Scheffler won again. If you're not a golf fan, but if you're just a fan of greatness, I would encourage you to start watching tournaments that Scottie Scheffler is playing in. He is on some kind of a tear that is historic in nature. His year, 2024, is a Hall of Fame career, possibly. A Masters, a Players, a couple of other tournaments as well. Won Jack's tournament today. So, he's just spectacular. I was rooting for Morikawa today, frankly. I don't have Scheffler fatigue by any stretch, but he's won enough. Let somebody else have a turn. So we had that today. And so there's some stuff going on, but in Ole Miss circles, in Ole Miss land, very little to talk about. And that's okay, because I've been thinking about one game in particular on Ole Miss's schedule. And mostly because they got the fan color wrong, and it always drives me nuts, so we'll get to that in a second. But I've been thinking about one game in particular, and I think that this game, this one game, is the single most important for Ole Miss in 2024. And we've gotten a few comments already, and you guys have not said that the game that I'm thinking of anyway yet. So we'll get to that on this edition and more, of course, your comments on this edition of the Rebel Report Live. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. If you're listening in podcast form, don't forget to hop over to the YouTube channel and subscribe. Just search my name, find it there. You can catch this live. Or if you're listening or watching, I should say, on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. This gets uploaded. There's a lot more of you in the podcast than there is on YouTube. So this gets uploaded in podcast form every single episode. And so don't miss one. If you don't catch it live, that's okay. You can listen to it wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. In this edition of the Rebel Report, and all of the editions of the Rebel Report through football season and beyond, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries are unavoidable in sports, guys, but they should not happen to you, but occasionally it does. If you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business or contract dispute, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, attorney DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, located in Saltillo, Mississippi, has got you covered. He will discuss your legal options with you, but it will be a different experience than there are larger firms that just kind of churn clients in and out, and that's what they do. Not DJ Gregory. He will build a personal relationship with you and do what's best for you. You are his priority. Because DJ Gregory is the person. So anyway, injuries, small business, or contract disputes, DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. Remember this number, 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. Let me try that again one more time. 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. So I've been thinking about this all day, because it's something that I talk about annually, and I bring it up on the radio show, and Richard cannot possibly care less, and Hey Dad doesn't care about Ole Miss things. So I feel like I'm fighting a battle of one here. But every year they release the what the fans should wear at the games colors, and they do at least this at least one time every year, where they either choose the powder game or whatever, where you know that you're playing a team that will bring a significant crowd, and yet you choose the color that will cause them to stand out. And it drives me insane, because it's such a simple concept. You want the crowd to blend at home, and you want to stand out on the road. So when Arkansas is in Oxford, you wear red. When Kentucky's in Oxford, you wear blue. When Auburn is in Oxford, you wear blue. When Alabama's in Oxford, you wear red. And when South Carolina's in Oxford, you wear red. And Georgia, you wear red, and so on and so on and so forth. You blend at home, but when you go to Georgia, powder blue. When you go to Texas, powder blue. When you go to Oklahoma, you know, that's how you're supposed to do it. The powder blue game should come, like, for example, when Kentucky's in town. You can make it work with Auburn. You can make it work, obviously, with Vanderbilt, because they don't travel at all. That's what you should do. And yet they choose so often to do it this way, and this year's powder blue game is Oklahoma. And I think that Oklahoma is the single, quote-unquote, most important game for Ole Miss in 2024, and I will give you the reason why. Sidebar, by the way. Oklahoma fans en masse are going to travel in Oxford. I talked to somebody at Media Days last year from Oklahoma, and the way he described what Oklahoma fans are like, he was like, you know, they're excited to go to Baton Rouge and play all these games. He's like, but man, they can't wait to get to the Grove. And apparently after the schedule was announced, where it was established that Oklahoma would be traveling to Ole Miss this year, that's a weekend nobody's talking about. You know, everybody's like, oh, Georgia, and renting their houses for Georgia. And that's kind of the Ole Miss fan focus, is on that game and that weekend and the implications behind that. Oklahoma is going to feel massive. They are going to travel, even if they don't have tickets to the game. I mean, that's what he said. He was like, you're going to get thousands upon thousands of Oklahoma fans to go that may not even have tickets to the game. They're just going to go because they want to see it. Because the Grove and Ole Miss is a college football. It's one of those places. If you get the chance to go, you got to go. I mean, you guys, you see it every home game. There are people, like one time I partied with a group of Kansas fans in the Grove back in college. They were walking around just kind of through the Grove, and they looked like they didn't know where they were going. So, you know, we stopped them and we hung out and gave them drinks and stuff like that. One time when my family was in, we did the tent thing and all that. And there was a couple guys wearing Lehigh shirts. And my dad grew up in the Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania. And that's where my grandfather and my now late grandmother are buried. And that's where they were from, the Lehigh Valley. So, of course, we stopped and talked. And we asked him what the hell they were doing in Oxford. And they said, because this is, you know, it's a college. We had to see it one time. So we came down, and you see that all the time. you're going to get that phenomenon with Oklahoma fans, but obviously it's a fan base that's gigantic. They are going to travel to Oxford. They are going to buy a lot of tickets, as many as they can, and they are going to swarm that town because they want to see it. They want to see Oxford. They want to see the Grove. That is not what you do for your powder game. It just blows my mind. It's so simple. They should know that. The people in marketing there should know that Oklahoma fans are going to travel well. And even if they don't, even if it's just their allotment, do you want them to stand out? No. So that grinds my gears unlike any other. But I do think that game is not being talked about enough, and I think that game is vital if Ole Miss is going to meet their goals in 2024, which is to make the playoff and win a playoff game at least. I mean, I've talked to enough people that if they make the playoff and they get beat in the first round, I don't know how many people are really going to be super jacked up about the season that they just had, especially if it's a two-loss season that leads to a first-round exit in the playoff. This is an incredibly hyped season, and Lane Kiffin is part of the reason why, not just because he's a good coach that built a good roster, but they aren't shying away from those kind of expectations at all. But because of the 12-team playoff, you can there is margin for error. You can afford a loss or two if it's the right two losses. And everybody is just kind of conceding the Georgia game, and I understand it. I'm not counting that as anything other than a loss, because Georgia, I think, has the best roster in college football, and it's the best program currently in college football. And, you know, for some reason, a lot of people are just giving them a loss in Baton Rouge, although I don't think that the rosters necessarily stack up the way that people that cover LSU do anyway. People are just kind of handing them those two losses. But in doing that, I mean, we've had that conversation here, and it's the same thing. Georgia and LSU, just win all the other ones, and you can lose Georgia and LSU, and you're fine. Oklahoma, now without Dillon Gabriel, but still is going to be a preseason top 15-ish team or so. Why I call them the most important game for Ole Miss in 2024, if they cannot, coming off of a bye, beat Oklahoma at home, they're not making the playoff, I don't think. Now, do seasons ever work out that way? No. They could beat LSU and lose to Oklahoma, and they would be fine. That's usually how it works out. But for the middle of June, I don't see a scenario in which they can lose to Oklahoma at home and make the playoff. Because if they're not able to beat Oklahoma at home, are they beating Georgia at home a few games later? It seems unlikely. Frankly, if they're not beating Oklahoma at home, I would have a hard time seeing them go to Baton Rouge and winning or surviving the road games. You know, I know that they're not particularly great teams, but Columbia, South Carolina, Fayetteville, and Gainesville are hard places to play football. So if that Oklahoma game is one that they are unable to take care of business for, then I don't see them running the table and the rest absent Georgia and getting those 10 wins and making the college football playoffs. So Georgia, I don't think, is the single most important game for Ole Miss in 2024, because there is a scenario in which that they can make the playoff without beating Georgia. I don't think LSU is the single most important game for Ole Miss in 2024, because they can survive a second week in October loss in Baton Rouge and still make a 12-team playoff. I do not think that they can survive a loss to Oklahoma, knowing what the implications of that would be, and then turn around and make the 12-team playoff. So I think Oklahoma, to me, is the game that I think they have to put a W next to, or else they're not meeting their goals in 2024. I think that they can lose to LSU, they can lose to Georgia, and, I mean, quite frankly, if we're talking about a possible loss in Columbia or Gainesville or Fayetteville, as difficult as those places are to play, then, you know, that the playoff conversation would be one that we're not having this season. So there are three games. There are three games on their schedule where they have to win at least two. Or excuse me, they have to win one, and they cannot afford to lose more than two. But I think it gets dicey if you can't beat Oklahoma at home. So I know that's a very off-season topic. It's not particularly deep, but we are pulling, and I'm sitting up way too high again. This chair rises up on its own. Sorry. But this is very peak off-season content, because there's like There's nothing going on at Ole Miss Circle, so I'm trying. We'll get the schedule. We'll get the kickoff times on Tuesday and have a little bit more fun. But in the meantime, I appreciate you guys being here. If you're here right now in the middle of June, you guys are you're a good one. So I'm glad you're here. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. There's one going up right near my house, right next to the Topgolf, by the way, because we're getting Topgolf around here. Big changes coming in this area. And there's a Priority One Bank right next to the Topgolf. So you can go, you can hit balls and have fun and have beer and then, you know, go do whatever it is you need to do at your bank, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Their online banking platform is awesome. You know, you don't need multiple apps to manage your money because, again, they make you their priority at Priority One Bank. The podcast is also brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. So just tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. We'll get to your comments for the next few minutes, and then I'll let you guys go on this Sunday. The LSU game is the measuring stick for not just this team, but for how far the program has come. You still consider Georgia a free shot. At Baton Rouge is the most important game, no question. I did say earlier, and this is just how off-season content works. You contradict yourself sometimes when you talk as much as I have to. But that game in Tiger Stadium, I think you can survive that loss from like a outside perspective, a rankings perspective, a making the playoff perspective. That's a tough place to play on the road, all that. But I do think, considering the rosters and where they are, that will be, will that be the biggest game in Lane Kiffin's coaching career? Probably, right? Gotta be. I mean, really that simple. And, you know, if he is the coach that everybody thinks that he is, then he'll go down there and win that game. If they're losing at South Carolina, Arkansas, or Florida, the whole playoff conversation isn't relevant anyways. True. The center fielder on Clemson can write his own check next year, whatever number he wants. That's true. That is true. You know, we don't have to go down this road today, but I think this Evansville and even Clemson thing, I know Clemson's in the ACC, but Clemson's roster is not well paid. But Evansville was one win away from making the College World Series. And I know that's an outlier, but Evansvilles are always outliers. We do all this hand-wringing. We had two Sun Belt coaches this week talk about how, you know, everything's awful and terrible and we can't compete and all this stuff. And, you know, honestly, there's more than a lot of truth to what they're saying. It is insane what coaches are having to deal with. The system, as we talk about, it's nuts. It really is. It's nonsense. And the leaders did not get out ahead of it when they could have. Everybody with a functioning brain saw this coming and nobody did anything about it. I'm weary of coaches complaining. It drives me nuts. If you make $500,000 a year to coach college baseball and your program loses money, I don't want to hear it. I mean, you're overpaid relative to your product that you're producing. So anyway, but still, there's a lot of truth to what they're saying. The system is rather nuts. But as I also say all the time, what has changed about the product on the field? Forget how the teams got there. Forget how the players got there. Forget what they're getting paid. I know that's hard, but forget all that. And look at the product on the field and tell me what has changed. What has changed? Evansville won a regional. They forced a game three with Tennessee. Do you know how expensive that roster is? It's almost as if there's still a certain number of roster spots and there's still a certain number of players and stockpiling talent isn't really a possibility. There's only so many players these teams can have on them. And in this era, frankly, you're not getting talented players to sit the bench really all that often anyway. So But you have this in baseball. This postseason has been awesome in college baseball. Clemson, Florida today was excellent. The regional round was excellent. The walk-offs and walk-offs and more walk-offs and more walk-offs. And then you had the upset with Evansville and UConn winning a regional. I mean, you had greatness this postseason so far. It's been a lot of fun. In the basketball tournament, you had UConn win again. But when has UConn not been at the top of college basketball? But you still had a tournament that felt like all of the other tournaments before. The best programs with the best players ended up kind of rising to the top. But Oakland beat mighty, well-paid Kentucky. Freaking Oakland beat Kentucky. You guys remember that. Yale beat Auburn. Those things happened still. And then in college football, as we talk about all the time, well, the little guy can't compete anymore. Well, when have they? They never have. The pecking order at the top of college football has been as exclusive as it's – I mean, the exclusivity in college football has been its biggest problem. And the greatest grift was selling people on the idea that their teams competed at the highest level. Nobody did. Look at the playoff appearances by school. Look at the BCS championship appearances by school. The top of college football has been a very, very, very select few, and it's always been that way. Little guy never competed, but upsets didn't go anywhere. We still had upsets in college football. It happened this year. G5 teams beat Power 5 teams. I think we had 4 FCS upsets this past season. So the product on the field itself, when the games actually get here and they get played, feel the exact same. The postseasons have felt the exact same. Nothing has changed. The system is terrible. It's broken. It's obnoxious. It makes no sense. All of that is true. But it's still college players on the field, on the court, doing the same things they've always done. It's the same things they've always done. So I understand that people are fed up with the system. I get it. But haven't you guys enjoyed the hell out of the baseball postseason so far? Wasn't the NCAA tournament awesome? Bunch of upsets? Wasn't this last college football season incredible? The ratings and the in-game attendance tell you that you guys enjoyed it more than you have in years past. So I don't know. Maybe if you look past all the garbage, that you can see the product on the field is unchanged. U.S. Open week. I hope that Pinehurst just wrecks these guys after the embarrassment that the PGA Championship was. You say there's little to talk about with Ole Miss, but women's track has a natty in at least one event. Yeah, that was an awesome showing. I'm one of those people that I love watching the Olympics. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I was glued into the college track and field nationals, but there's electricity in the 100 and 200 meters. I mean, real electricity. And so watching the highlight, the replay of that was, I mean, it's electric. The 100 meter is something else, man. I don't know what happened or why, like, we as a nation are not as into the Olympics as we used to be, because we are so into sports still. Sports are doing really well. The Women's College World Series just broke another viewership record. So we're still very interested in sports, but the Olympics aren't really moving the needle like they used to. And I would love to know why. I mean, Michael Johnson and Michael Phelps, a lot of Michaels, apparently. We kick ass, I guess. But used to be stars. I mean, the gymnasts, everybody knew who they were. Maybe that's still the case, but I'll be watching. I love the Olympics. I thought NBC's coverage of the Olympics in China was a disgrace, and everybody involved should be ashamed of running propaganda for the Chinese government. So maybe that turned some people off. It frustrated me, that's for sure. That was a joke and an embarrassment. They literally ran Chinese propaganda on NBC here in the United States. So maybe that's it, but anyway. Taglione, nobody's going to throw to him the rest of the tournament. What a beast that dude is. Had a freshman throwing 98 out of the pen for Florida. There's dudes everywhere, man. And that's the thing. That just because the record was what it is, doesn't mean that that's not a team that is certainly well within their ability to be where they are. Do I think schools are going to come after heads of NIL such as Walker Jones, with NIL paying such a key role in a program's success? That is an interesting question. They could try. As far as, if I know what I know about Walker Jones, he would laugh at anybody trying to get them to run their collective and him not running Ole Miss's collective. But we are very quickly approaching the absorption of those into the departments. So I think by the time they would get something like that done, it would kind of be a waste of time. But if it's somebody that's more independent, but that's the thing, the people running all of these collectives, like Florida State's collective is run by a Florida State guy, big time Florida State guy. So if he's doing a good job, which he is doing a very good job, their second collective, not the first one that got them in trouble, the current one, he's only doing this because of his love for Florida State. Walker Jones is only doing this because of his love for Ole Miss. So somebody could come at him with an offer, but why would I help other schools be successful? You know what I mean? So it wouldn't hurt to try, but all of these collectives, or almost all of them, I guess, are run by people with vested emotional interest in the school as well. And I think that's important. Connections and things like that. You're fundraising, and you're much more likely to give somebody your money that is as emotionally invested in the success of the program as you are. At least I think so. Maury Cow is playing great golf, and nobody's going to talk about it after this year. He'd have like 3 wins if not for Scotty, wouldn't he? As far as most important game, I'd have to go South Carolina. Will they be good? Probably not, but I think that serves as the first real test away from home to see how this team comes together. It is the first real test at home, and it's a week before they go to Baton Rouge. That is it's a weird spot on the schedule, but yeah, Ole Miss will be 4-0 hosting Kentucky and then have South Carolina sandwiched in between Kentucky and LSU. So what does South Carolina have before that one? There's a chance I don't think they're going to be undefeated, but South Carolina's Old Dominion at Kentucky, LSU, Akron, and they have a bye week before Ole Miss comes to town. So there's a chance that they've got 2 losses already before that game, though. Place will still be a madhouse. Is 10-2 with a playoff berth really deemed a, quote, better season than 2023 based on the playoff alone? There's a scenario where it's not advancing the program. If they go 10-2 and they get beat kind of soundly in the first round of the playoff, I don't think it would be a better season than last year. They're going to be a lot better on defense than we think, if you're talking about Oklahoma. And they'll have an all-conference wide receiver. Living here in Oxford, we are all talking about how nuts the Oklahoma weekend is going to be. It's going to be like when Texas came in 2012. Yeah, I mean, for you locals, you're getting 2 of those this year. It's not just Georgia. You're getting 2. And then Kentucky's going to travel well to Oxford as well. They did last time anyway. But you'll get 2 of those. But the Oklahoma one's flying under the radar. At least, maybe not for you guys, but it is for like everybody I interact with. It's kind of the forgotten big game. What will Oklahoma be by then? Ooh, Oklahoma's got Tennessee, a road trip to Auburn, Texas, and South Carolina before Ole Miss. Ooh. You personally take Georgia out of the equation, and in order of importance, go LSU, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky, State, Wake Forest. You have Arkansas so high because literally everything goes wrong every time Ole Miss goes there, no matter what team. Yeah, let's see what Arkansas will be by them. So they're in Stillwater, Oklahoma in week 2. Good luck. They have a road trip to Auburn, A&M in Dallas, Tennessee, LSU, and at Mississippi State before that Ole Miss game, though. I mean, there is a potential 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's possible 6 losses on that schedule before Ole Miss comes to town before the calendar turns to November. Are they going to lose all those? No. But we are wearing powder four times next season: Georgia Southern, UK at South Carolina, and Oklahoma. 12 games, powder should be 6 of the 12. You know, honestly, I think I love the color. I think it's a great color. It's got a historical component that's a really cool, like, lore story, right? It just really just complements red, and red complements it so much better than the navy blue, in my opinion. I don't know. I think that it should be their primary blue color, frankly. But I know not everybody agrees with that. Ole Miss cannot lose to Oklahoma and have the kind of season that we expect. If they lose to Oklahoma, they're not making the playoffs, in my opinion. I agree. If you lose to Georgia and LSU, the college football playoff is anything but a lock. There's going to be a lot of 10-2 SEC teams, and if your argument is that you went 10-2 with wins against no-ranked teams, that would not be good. Stop listening to SEC Mike. They'll make the playoffs at 10-2. I'll give you my car if they don't. You can make the whole throw the records out argument with the Egg Bowl, but there's very little reason the game should be closed. Quite frankly, the programs are very far apart right now. The rosters are it couldn't be more far apart. I mean, look, I've said it to you guys before, but I like Jeff Lebby. I think that his offense will work. I think that they've got some pieces to where they can be pretty salty on offense this year. Their defensive personnel might be the worst in the SEC. There's a chance that they are. And look, there's people that I don't know if they want to hear that or not. I give Hey Dad a lot of credit for kind of warning people, like, hey, you got to understand they lost a lot of people and they did not replace them. Like, kind of buckle up here. Not enough people are doing what Hey Dad's doing, I don't think, because, I mean, guys, they signed literally the worst portal class in the SEC, 16th out of 16. Yes, behind Vanderbilt. Defensive personnel is a big issue there. This is more of a conversation for the radio audience, obviously, than this one, but still. Let me back up my Baton Rouge assertion. It is the media eye's biggest road test of the season. We generally play well in Red Stick comparatively, and winning there carries a ton of weight. It absolutely does. Kentucky will surprise people this year. Generally pretty solid. They do have to play Georgia 2 weeks before Ole Miss, although they get Ohio University, which, I mean, Ole Miss has Georgia Southern, so that's kind of a wash. But Kentucky's got an interesting start to the season. I mean, Southern Miss is going to show up, and they've got some talent. Southern Miss does. They've got some SEC, like, second and third team SEC caliber talent, because they had guys that were second and third teamers on SEC teams transfer there. South Carolina and Georgia before that Ohio and then Ole Miss game. So, yeah. We'll see what Brock Vandegrift is like. So you say we're absolutely killing state and recruiting. It's never talked about on the radio. Don't want to hurt Haydak's feelings. We don't talk recruiting much. And here's, I mean, quite frankly, recruiting is very niche. And if you're going to do recruiting, you have to really, really, really do recruiting. We do a lot of portal, because portal is this guy is coming in and playing this year. Right? So that's easier to digest for people. But for the overwhelming majority of our audience, they don't pay attention. I could say five recruits' names and they'd be like, who the hell's that? Well, it's a guy that might play 2 years from now. I don't care. The radio audience is more of your, look, I mean, if you're listening to sports radio, you care, right? You're a fan, you're informed, you're more diehard than most, but it is not, to that level. That's not what our, because we have to have mass appeal, right? We have to appeal to 82 counties worth of people. And recruiting, I think, is more narrow focused and niche than what somebody driving home from work in Tupelo kind of wants to hear. I think if you're going to do recruiting, you have to do it all the time. or have a vertical that's dedicated to recruiting. Like when, you know, Neil and Chase, they Rivals is a recruiting site. They obviously do, they do podcasting and regular content and all that stuff. But when visits happen, they cover it. That is like a vertical that they have. If we, because people pay their for that, I don't think many people are coming to our platform for that. It's just different, I think. But they do it all well. I like the two of them a great deal. They do it all very well. But we don't have an audience that is heavily expecting recruiting. At least we've never really felt that demand. LSU game will have the 2014 feeling. Yeah, but at least there's a coach that will want to win the game by a score that's greater than 7-3, unlike Hugh Freeze. LSU will probably be undefeated when we go to Baton Rouge when there is enormous. I'm not so convinced, frankly. I mean, USC in Vegas at South Carolina, UCLA. I know UCLA is going to be kind of stinky, but I would bet on LSU having one loss before I would bet on them being undefeated. But now that I said that, they're going to be undefeated. 10-2 Ole Miss with the second loss to neither LSU or Oklahoma might be left out of the playoff. Lose to Arkansas and Georgia and back-to-back, and you might not get in. That's actually an interesting point. Yeah, if they, I still would say no because, I mean, again, you're talking about six teams ahead of them in this scenario. There's no schedule in the ACC or the Big 12, and there's very few in the Big 10, very few, that would have a win in Baton Rouge and a win over Oklahoma on it. Can we talk about how insane having Kentucky playing a home baseball game tonight with a first pitch of 9 p.m.? Stupid, in my opinion. I think it's stupid. There's an Olympics every 2 years now. Back when the winter and summer were in the same year, and only every 4 years, it was an entire year of national pride. Yeah, and but every 2 years, there's still enough time for absence to grow the heart fonder, isn't there? I don't know. It doesn't feel the same. Also, it's not cool to love your country anymore. Sorry to get all whatever on you, but I mean, you can recognize that, you know, there are flaws in our country and still love it deeply. I just don't understand why, like, having national pride is somehow viewed as a political statement. It's just, yeah, whatever. That's not for this platform, I guess. These road games need to be paid close attention to. The teams might not all be great, but it's hard to win on the road in the SEC. That's why I really like – I'm very optimistic – at my prediction for this team because of what they have on the offensive line and the depth that they have on the offensive line. It cannot be overstated. They return everybody with eligibility from last year's team on the offensive line. That's a lot of guys. And all of those guys stayed despite getting recruited over. So look, and maybe one of the portal guys doesn't win the job. Maybe Scott doesn't win the job, or one of the, you know, one of them, maybe they don't start. But they were able to keep that unit that played last season intact, added to it, and didn't have any attrition. That is crazy to think about. So the depth that they have on the offensive line, they can survive a week or two of injuries, or guy rolls his ankle in the first quarter of the Arkansas game. They're okay there. The depth on the offensive line is something that you should be really encouraged by. Because it is far less likely for a game to get weird in Fayetteville when you're as good as they, on paper, look to be up front. Arkansas is in the worst spot imaginable. Yeah, sandwiched in between Oklahoma and Georgia. No offense to State, but the roster plus the 2024, now 2025 schedules are doing them no favors. Going to be hard to make bowl games. Yeah, holy crap. Their road schedule, somebody in the SEC office hates them. Georgia Southern is sneaky salty. Clay Helton has a little program going in Statesboro. Oh, this is an interesting one. Georgia Southern's the toughest of the four non-cons. Kind of think Ole Miss destroys Wake like Georgia Tech in 22. You've got LSU 8-4 right now. Tigers drop one between either USC or South Carolina. Brian Kelly's already warning us. You know, got to give him credit. He's honest. I don't think he's embellishing. I think he's just honest. And like you say, he warned fans about their defense last year. He's honest. I respect that. You know, it reminds me of slightly different, but it reminds me of when Lane Kiffin was on Dan Patrick, and they were going to play Ohio State, and he was on when he was at FAU. I think it was Ohio State, and Dan asked him just straight up, "Hey, do you think you got a chance? Like, you're going to go pull the upset this weekend?" And Lane said, "Dan, watch my team get off the bus and then watch their team get off the bus and tell me if we've got a chance on Saturday." I loved that. I mean, that was when I was like, okay, Lane Kiffin's awesome. I mean, what other coach in America would say that on a national platform? Watch them get off the bus, then watch my team get off the bus and tell me if we've got a chance to win that game. Man, they got beat by like a billion points, by the way. He was right, but anyway, so on Tuesday, we will get the rest of the kickoff times, the kickoff windows. So it'll be, I guess, we'll know morning, middle afternoon, night for the rest of Ole Miss's games this year. So we'll do that on Tuesday. Looking forward to that. So, yeah, I'll see you guys then. Appreciate you being here, as always. I know it's the middle of summer. Nothing really going on. But it'll pick up quick, so we'll do that. We'll do some more of this for the next couple of weeks. I'll be gone for a week. We'll get back. We'll start doing countdown stuff, position group previews, things like that. Have some guests this summer. Then we'll go to media days, then it's full steam ahead. So anyway, thank you guys for being here. As always, Gregory Law Firm, check him out, DJ Gregory, 662-397-9799 for all of your personal injury, small business, or contract disputes. The Gregory Law Firm in Saltillo, Mississippi. See you guys on Tuesday with more kickoff times. Looking forward to it. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.